Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast presented to you by the Racing Post Members Club. My name's Sam Hart. Myself and two of my Racing Post colleagues will be guiding you through the first 3 days of the York Ebor Festival. Today I'm joined by two of the Racing Post's finest journalists. You may have seen them on the front page yesterday. It's James Stevens and Jonathan Harding. James, it's fair to say the last two weekends haven't been the most exciting in the UK with regards to the racing, but we have a great four-day festival to look forward to this week.
Yeah, no, it's a cracker, isn't it? I mean, York's always a fantastic meeting. You know, the International is a race which I think always gets the most exciting horses to sort of come together. And this year's no difference with Baid and Mishrif in there. You know, later in the week, we've got an Unthought. The sprint division's been particularly interesting this season, and we potentially have a new superstar in Royal Acclaim. So there's lots of different areas to it. And I think the big one for me is seeing Stradivarius, what he can do. You know, an amazing horse who could set a record at York if all goes well this week. So yeah, lots to look forward to, lots to sort of get through, but a fantastic week in store.
There really is. And Jonathan, I'm sure you're going to be covering plenty of the stories that happen over the next few days. James has just mentioned that Stradivarius could be the big story. What's kind of the highlight that you're looking forward to this week?
Oh, it has to be Baid for me. I mean, like James, love York. I think as far as it goes in the when we're sort of ranking these big festivals, it's right up there with the Royal Ascot and Glorious Goodwood for me in terms of the calibre of horse. And at the moment, they don't come any bigger or better than Baid. I'm fascinated to see how he gets on over this longer trip. Personally, I think he will, and we'll get onto that, I'm sure. But I'm really excited to see him out and stepping up in trip, taking on a horse like Mishrif is going to be a real test. So a proper race at a proper race course, and it's a great week to get stuck into.
Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Baid in just a moment. So let's get into the racing, gents. Starting off with Wednesday, where we'll look at three races. We start off with the 2.25, the Tattersall's Acom Stakes, a Group 3 over 7 furlongs for the two-year-olds. All prices that I give out during the postcast, they'll be as correct from Tuesday midday. So Local Dynasty is your 9-4 favourite here. Millstream 7-2, Indestructible 13-2, Chaldean 7-1, Hectic 9-1, and Double Figures Bar. Local Dynasty, Jonathan, one is maiden just over 10 days ago, so we don't know too much about the form of that race, bar the last in that race actually came out and finished 7th of 7 just the other day. But he did things very easy in his maidens, probably the favourite based on his potential, I guess.
No, you're absolutely right. And he happens to be my selection in the race. I'm quite guilty occasionally of overcomplicating these things. And like you say, we're still slightly working out what type of horse he's going to be, what heights he's going to reach and how good that race was. But like you say, he's priced on potential and on breeding. He's a half brother to Wild Illusion. It all points to this being another top two-year-old for a yard that, as we've reported recently, has been absolutely flying with two-year-olds, as you'd almost expect Godolphin to be, but more so. So really looking forward to seeing how he gets on, and I think he's probably the one to beat.
Okay, Local Dynasty for Jonathan. Yeah, Godolphin have got some fantastic two-year-olds. They've also got Noble Star, who we'll get onto in the gym crack later on in the preview. James, who do you like in the first race of the postcast?
Yeah, I think I agree that the most likely winner would be Local Dynasty. But from a sort of punting perspective, I mean, he's only had the one round. For all, he looked very good and very professional. And, you know, he could really be anything. I'd probably be eager to sort of take him on. I like Chaldean at Newbury, actually. I thought it was a horse that looked like he had quite a bit of talent, quite a bit of natural ability. Probably still going to progress. You know, he was fifth on debut. He'd step forward sort of to win on his next start. So I think mentally this is a horse that's going to improve. And, you know, look, he looks to me like he's got sort of the talent to be competitive at a group level. So 7-1 seems a decent price, I think.
Chaldean, 7-1 for James, and Local Dynasty for Jonathan at 9-4. Let's move on to the next race then, gents. The 3 o'clock, which is the Group 2 Skybet Great Voltager Stakes, and 1.5 for 3-year-old colts. And gelding, Secret State winner at Goodwood is 2-1 favourite. iCal and Dover Legend 7-2. Walk of Stars 9-2. El Bodegon 14-1. And Grand Alliance is the outside of the field at 22-1. James, another Godolphin favourite here, who looked very good at Goodwood, but this is no walkover.
No, certainly not. And I think this race is one of the, you know, we're sort of sitting here waiting to know what the sort of ground's going to be like. Unfortunately, I'm leaning over the cliff with Walk of Stars, and unfortunately, he's just going to get my support one more time if that rain does come. This is a horse I sort of spotted at the start of the season. Easter Sunday, I went racing at Newbury, and I just saw this horse and thought, wow, this thing looks really, really talented, and sort of kept an eye on him since. I liked him for the Derby. I thought he sort of babyish at Lingford when he was beaten, and he was very, very babyish again at Newmarket. But to me, he just screams like he's a horse with loads of talent. You know, he's been gelded. It's going to take him a bit of time to really sort of get to grips. And I think the crucial thing for this horse is he'll be better when there's a little bit of cut in the ground. So I'd like to see some rain in the forecast if he's going to sort of possibly even run, let alone win. I think that as it stands, if it stays at quick ground, I think Secret State is definitely the one to beat. You know, has just been a real steady horse that's made real steady progress. You know, he beat Deauville Legend at Ascot, who's turning up here. We know the form is pretty good. You know, everything he's sort of done has improved every single time. And, you know, Charlie Appleby's got quite a strong hand in that division. We've talked about it all sort of all through the year. This is a horse that could well be a St. Ledger player if all goes well, all goes well tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. So James is with one of the Godolphin horses, but not the favourite. If the rain does come, he does like Walk of Stars. But if the ground does stay quick, it's an interesting one because we don't know how the ground's going to be quite at this stage. But yeah, if the ground is quick, Secret State could be difficult to beat. Jonathan, I thought if the rain did come, El Bodegon was a price in here. Ran behind Ernesto in the Grand Prix de Paris a few weeks back. Probably will want that rain, like I say, but a double figures price is, I think he could be competitive. Is there anything at a price in here that you like, or are you going to be sticking with the top of the market?
Well, it's interesting you say that because I was going to be a little bit controversial and have two selections because I thought El Bodegon, given the caliber of the horses he's beaten, if the rain does come and it's looking a little bit like perhaps it won't and that those thunderstorms might just skirt York, it's so difficult to know. It's a bit of a movable feast, but a lot will depend on the ground. I think if the ground comes up anything on the softer side, El Bodegon's a huge price and will only shorten on the day. I mean, for me, my selection will be A. Callan here in this race. I butchered the pronunciation there, but following an abject run over a mile in the St. James's Palace, he's stepped up for the Group 3 International Stakes at the Curragh. And I think he was probably priced on the fact that he was so disappointing at Royal Ascot. But he's a horse that needs a trip. And I think stepping up again to a mile and a half will be absolutely no problem for him. And it was encouraging to see the third in that race, Rumbles of Thunder, going on and winning well again on their next start. So A. Cal for Aidan O'Brien for me is the one to take on the Godolphin, stop them having two winners straight off the bat in those two group races.
There you go, Acal for Jonathan. I agree with you. I was there at the Curragh that day, and I thought when this horse steps up in trip, could be quite exciting. 7-2 currently, best price. Now, time for the big one in on the opening day. It's the Judgment International, the Group One over a mile and a quarter. 3:35 is the time in this race. And Bide is your hot favourite at 2-5. Mishra 4-1. Native Trail 15-2. Dubai Honour and High Definition of 50s. And Sir Busker is 66-1. James, I read your piece this morning on Richard Hills, who, for listeners who don't know, is the racing manager for Shadwell. He said that he'll have no problem getting the 10 furlongs. Just how confident was he?
Yeah, very confident, and I think he's got every reason to be. I mean, I think that the horse will stay the trip fine. You know, you watch the way he goes through his races, you watch how he sort of relaxed he is, and that's what Richard was sort of saying, that he's a very relaxed character at home. He sort of, you know, everything about his demeanor at home suggests that that sort of extra trip's not really a problem for him, and I don't think it will. For me, it's just a question of whether one of the others will stay better than him, because that's going to be a real crucial part of this race. You know, I'd be confident he'll stay it. But if I was punting on the race, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I am not going to, I would be going for Mishra. I think that, you know, the form of that race last season was pretty decent, and the way he just sort of destroyed it was really, really impressive. He was obviously giving weight, which was never easy to some decent 3-year-olds. How it stacks up to this year. It's obviously a lot stronger again this year, but you know, he's got some course form at York, which can be quite handy. And you know, Baid is a real superstar. I really hope he goes and wins, but sometimes getting that trip, it's not just about getting the trip, it's being able to win a Group One over the trip. And it's just a big question about Baid, and I don't think I'd ever take a price like that about a horse. But I think for the sport and for racing, it'd be amazing to see him turn up and do something good and you know, win by a big margin. But if I was punting on the race, it would be Mishra for me.
There we go. I'm in complete agreement with you. And Jonathan, a well-known Racing Post tipster, Paul Keighley, is quite sweet on Mishra's chances as well. And like James says, if we do go back a year ago and repeat that run, could he put it up to Baid?
Oh, I think he's certainly going to put it up to him. Obviously, things didn't quite go to plan for Mishrif in the King George, but he's so consistent as far as the yardstick goes for kind of looking at how good Bayid is or could potentially be. This is the biggest test he's faced, stepping up in trip. I think he's probably likely to get closest, certainly on paper. And I think I agree with James. It's one thing to get the trip, but another to excel over the trip. But the pedigree for me suggests that Bayid, given he's by an ARC winner and related to a Coronation Cup winner in Huckham, I think he's going to excel and perhaps be even better over a longer trip. So it's not, from a punting perspective, it's a race I'll probably sit back and watch. But if I were to have an interest in a sort of without betting without Bayid market, I think Native Trail's perhaps been lost in the conversation a little bit. Not to be too controversial, but he was really not beaten far by Mishrif in the Coral Eclipse. And Mishrif's run in that Coral Eclipse behind a very good horse in Vidane is sort of a lot of people's justification as to why he's next best behind Bayid. And Native Trail doesn't have an awful lot to find. And remember, he's getting a little bit of weight again from Bayid and Mishrif. So I don't think there's quite as much to split Native Trail at his best from a Mishrif. So he, at the prices, he is of interest to me in a betting without Bayid market, but I can't see and personally would like to see Bayid win. I can't see him being beaten myself.
I think everyone wants to see Bayid go and win, so I'd love to see him win this impressively and then go on to the British Champion Stakes at Ascot and potentially take on Vidane. That would be some race if those two were to meet. Obviously, yeah, they'd have the option to go back to the QE2 as well, but I'm sure if he's impressed over this trip, they'll stick to the 10 furlongs. So that's it for the opening day. Can Bayid light up day one? We'll have to wait and see. Join us in just a few seconds, though. We'll look at the second day of the Ebor Festival, which includes the Group 1 Yorkshire Oaks.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Jonathan Harding and James Stevens. Day two now, where we look at another three races, starting off with the 150, the Skybet Lowther Stakes, a Group 2 for the two-year-old fillies over six furlongs. Dramatised is the 6-5 favourite, Morge 11-2, Matilda Picotte 10-1, Kinter 12-1 and 20-1 and bigger the rest of them. The Queen Mary winner Dramatised was too short at the start of the week, in my opinion, with the likes of Lazoo and Meditate still in the field. But I now just think she's probably going to go and win this. Jonathan, does she just come out and win this quite easily, really?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think she's absolutely a worthy favourite. She's obviously an impressive winner of the Queen Mary. And like you say, she was perhaps a little bit short and not backable at the beginning of the week. My only concern would be the form of that race hasn't worked out quite as well as it might have. That slightly puts me off, but I'm willing to sort of accept that she might have been just a cut above her rivals that day. And I think she definitely sets the standard. She's who I'll be siding with. I think she's a very worthy favourite.
Okay, Dramatised for Jonathan. Yeah, like you say, it is difficult because the form of that race hasn't quite been what was expected. I saw Maylan Seas run twice since and just hasn't quite performed at short odds. James, can you see the favourite getting beaten here?
No, to be honest with you, I think she was really, really impressive at Ascot. And I have to say, when she won in that style, I was thinking that when we were talking about this horse at York, it might well be in the Nunthorpe. A little disappointing she's not in the race, to be perfectly honest with you. But look, she's got a penalty kick here, I think. I think she's by far the best horse in the race. I think if I was to sort of have a bet in the race, I probably wouldn't bet her price because I get what you're saying about the price is probably a bit more attractive now, but I'd probably rather have an each way on Matilda Picolet, the Irish horse who's been running to a decent level, just ran into a horse that, you know, was probably a little better on the day the last time, but she's got some decent form in the book. she's pretty consistent. She looks like she's a proper sort of two-year-old sprinter. And I wouldn't be surprised she's finishing second, but I'd be surprised if her favourite gets beat, to be perfectly honest.
Okay, yeah, James says that Dramatize could potentially, or should have potentially gone for the Nunthorpe. And I think that race is going to be very open to two-year-olds, and we will discuss that in just a moment. Right, time to move on to the next race and get ready for some prices here. The first handicap we're going to be covering is the 3 o'clock, the Clipper Logistics handicap, a class 2 handicap over a mile for the 3-year-olds and older. Blue for you is 8-1, Orban 10-1, Brunch, Cruyff Turn, Shining Blue, Saga, Northern Express 12s, 14s about Busala, Base Player and Echo Point, and 16s bar these. 8-1 the field here, James. Best of luck finding a winner.
Yeah, I was, wasn't hoping you'd say best of luck with the prices and such, because I have just been pretty boring and gone for Echo Point, a horse that has some pretty decent form, albeit a lot of twos next to his name, which is never ideal. The last of which was at Newmarket, looked a pretty good race. You sort of look at the odds, look at the sort of bookings. William Buick was on the winner for Godolphin, so probably would have improved for the run, you'd have think, and that was sort of the expectation that, that one would be too good. Ran a perfectly respectable race, first start since running in Dubai. Look, up £4, but strikes me as a horse that's probably quite well handicapped. The only one I thought might be a bit of a prize was Ila Kai, a horse that ran well in this last year, was second. Sort of been running back to form for a little bit this season, albeit needs to step forward again. Dropped another pound back to 96, ran well in off 94 in this last year. So sort of 20-1, that strikes me as a bit of each way value.
Okay, a couple of prizes there from James. Jonathan, the favourite here, Blue For You, he probably deserves a big one. Last three starts at York, finishing twice. Sorry, had three starts recently, both finishing second both times at York. Can he make it third time lucky there?
Yeah, well, very possibly, and is a decent favourite, I think, for David O'Mara, who obviously has such a good record in these types of handicaps. My selection, you have to scroll a fair way down the race card if you're ordering it by odds, and it's What's the Story, who's about 25-1. Now you're gonna have to bear with me on this one, because I spent probably more time studying this race than any of the others, and I half thought I found a bit of each way of value here, but I could be proven very wrong. You never know. Well, he runs for Keith Dalgleish, bounced back at Ayr last time, and he sneaks in at the bottom of the weights, and I always look towards the bottom of the weights in a race like this when it is a bit of a throwing a dart at it job, because there's so many form lines and everything to wrap your head around, and I just think coming in on a lightweight was very important. He's run well at York before, including when he was fourth behind last year's winner, Cruyff Turn, earlier in the season. I just think that his price is too big. I don't think he's a 25-1 shot. And look, if I'm sure that there'll be fairly generous place odds with bookmakers, and I think he's just capable of perhaps sneaking a place.
What's the story? 25-1 for Keith Dalgleish team. That could be a nice one there for Jonathan. That you've spent plenty of time studying that one, Jonathan. So no pressure. Everyone's hoping that goes in there.
Yeah, God, yeah. Set us pride before a fall.
The highlight of day two now is the Group 1 Darley Yorkshire Oaks. A mile and a half for the fillies and mares. 3:35 is the time. And Alpinista is the 2-1 favourite. Magical Lagoon and Tuesday both 4-1. Le Petit Coco is 6-1. Reclet, the French Raider, is 10-1. Lilac Road, 11s. And Poptronic, 28-1. Now, Alpinista, in my opinion, is actually a fair price here. She's 5 wins on the bounce, 4 Group 1s in those last 5 wins. She's beaten ARC winner Torquato Tasso over in Germany. He showed that ARC was no fluke, with a good second in the King George at Ascot. I believe that Racing Post tipster Robbie Wilders put this horse up at 50s for the ARC earlier in the year. I think he's on some bet here, and hopefully on Thursday he'll feel a lot more confident after that she's gone and won. Do you think that she is potentially a superstar here, Jonathan?
Yeah, I think she is. And I was actually in the office today with Robbie, and we were talking about Alpinista and her chances. Whether we were in agreement, I half thought that she would have won the ARC last year, certainly yeah. with the allowance that she would have had then. I think she sets the standard again. But this is certainly a stepping stone to the ARC, and whether that's a concern, I'm not sure. But I think it's a race that she ought to win. There's a bit of value in the rest of the field, though. I think Le Petit Coco is interesting for me. Sort of showed that she had ability when beating Love last season, and got off to a fantastic start this time with when kind of toughing it out in the Pretty Polly to beat Maestra. Whether she's quite at the same level as an Alpinista, I don't know. But if there's one that could capitalise on an off day or an issue with the ground or anything like that, I don't think she'll be out of the conversation towards the finish, if you see what I mean. So I think at the prices, she's certainly worth a second look.
Okay, Le Petit Coco, one to look out for. Alpinista, yeah, definitely does set the standard. I thought Raclette was interesting in here, James, coming over from France. I mean, she's a horse that was really highly regarded at two. It didn't quite happen for her, but I think she's really starting to come into herself now. And I think 10 to 1 is fast, a fair price about her each way. But do you think that Alpinista is going to be very tough to beat here?
I'm keen to take her on, actually. I think she will be tough to beat. I think she could well be an art course. I think that's a fantastic bet. And I think when you look back through her form, the signs were certainly there. You know, what she did on return was impressive enough. And it's going to be interesting to see her now try and do it in Britain. You know, it's amazing that she sort of won so many races in Europe, and now she's got to try and win a Group One. Agree with you about the French horse. Raclette seems to be improving all the time. I worry whether she's good enough to make the next step up. I'm a little bit curious about that. I think, for me, the horse is Tuesday. Obviously, when the Oaks beat Emily Upjohn, which I think is a real strong piece of form. I thought a run over a mile in the two guineas were very, very good, considering she is bred to get further. I think everything about her is very, very good, bar the last run, where I just felt that she probably just came too soon, didn't she? She ran in two guineas, won an Oaks, and then went to an Irish Derby, which was probably just one run too many. They'd given her almost 2 months off, so you'd imagine she sort of had a bit of time to recover from that sort of mid-season break. Look, if she brings her Epsom form, beating Emily Upjohn, she certainly shouldn't be 4-1. So I think she's a real, real good price, actually, considering she's already got the form. And if you actually look at the official ratings of the race, she's rated £3 lower than Alpinista and gets £9 from her from the free rance allowance. So,
yeah,
that's the one for me. I think she's a real bit of value, actually.
Okay, Tuesday, 4-1 for James there. And Jonathan, like I said, Alpinista tough to beat, but Le Petit Coco at 6-1. One's definitely keep your eye on. So that's Thursday for you. Hoping the guys have found a few winners for you there. One more short advert and we'll look at the penultimate day as well as get the gents' naps for the meeting.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Welcome back to the podcast with Sam, James and Jonathan. This is the third day, the final day that we'll be looking at. Bruce will be back on Friday with a look at Saturday's big race, the Ebor, as well as the rest of ITV's coverage. So we're going to look at four races on the final day we'll be covering, kicking off with the 150 Sky Bet handicap, another strong class two handicap, over a mile and a half this time. Four co-favourites here, Juan del Montalban, Marajan, Injazati and Cormier, 10-1 favourites. Sam Cook is 11-1, Charging Thunder, Lord Protector, Moctasib and Secret Box 12 and 14's Bar. Again, Jonathan, an open-looking handicap, only giving three different prices there, about nine horses. Who are you looking at here?
Oh, it gives you a headache, doesn't it, looking at races like this too frequently? But that's all part of the fun, trying to find a little bit of value in here. I'm actually quite keen on Cormier, and after watching him win at Chester, I thought he's one to follow should he rock up at York, and think it looks as though he's going to for Brian Ellison. The booking of Holly Doyle is inspired. I think there's no jockey riding better than her at the moment. Well, perhaps William Buick and her are tied for top jockey so far this season from the races I've watched. I think she's fantastic in these sort of tactical affairs and can deliver at the finish. And you've got to think Cormier will be there or thereabouts come the end. We know he gets 2 miles on soft ground, so I think whatever the conditions, he's going to not be too fussy. And the form of that Chester win is sort of good. I was pleased with the performance, and I think, yeah, Cormier for me.
Okay, yeah, Holly Doyle has had some season, and honestly, I'm sure she'll be picking up some good prizes at York this week. James, have you got one for us in this race?
Yeah, it's a tricky race. I think, like Jonathan, he had the last race he was looking most at. This was the one I was going through with even more time, I think. And I landed on Lord Protector for Rafe Beckett. The horse who strikes me as once a mile and a half. It's been tested over a mile two for most of this season, I think all of this season perhaps. Won at Sandown and looked pretty decent when he won there. Had some really decent early form as well. The last day at Goodwood, it was one of those confusing sort of muddling races. But I think he ran a real sort of eye-catching race and looks to me like he's ready for the step-up in trip. So, yeah, I think he's an improver. And regarding the sort of ground, I think just a little bit of rain might do his help some chance, might do his chances some help, I should say. It's good to firm now, but I think he'll want it sort of good.
Okay, Lord Protector, 12-1 for the Rafe Beckett team for James, and Cormier, 10-1 for Jonathan there. Now, time for one of the three group races we'll be covering on the Friday. It's the 2:25 Weatherby's Hamilton at Longsdale Cup, a Group 2 just over 2 miles. And Stradivarius is the even money favourite here. Trushan, 9-4. Really hoping those thunderstorms come for Trushan. Coltrane, 9-2. Tashkan, 15-2. Quickfawn, 10s and 33. And bigger the rest in here. Suppose we don't know at this stage, James, how much rain we're actually going to be getting at York. But no Kyprios coming to take him on this time around. Only Trushan there who's going to be crying out for this rain. Could this be Stradivarius' big race this season?
Yeah, it possibly could be. And I think you'd have to be really, really mean not to want to see him sort of win it in a way. It's going to depend on that ground again, isn't it? That's the crucial thing with this race. I personally think that the Trushan is the more likely horse that is going to step forward. You know, Goodwood wasn't too far away, remember, you know. Stradivarius has got to come out and give in another effort, and that's tricky on a horse. You know, that's asking quite a lot, and Stradivarius is a year older. It takes a bit more out of you, and whereas before we've seen him sort of go up from Ascot and then Goodwood and then up to York, you know, he's been able to do that in his younger days. Whether he can still do that is a question mark, a real big question mark, in fact. Trushan, you know, he's certainly not the youngest horse in the world. I mean, we think he's younger, but he's 6 years old and he's sort of been on the go for a while. He's probably one for me that I would back to beat Stradivarius, because I think he obviously does have a high level of form. Yeah, he was behind him at Goodwood the last day, except that. But then you think back to Newcastle and how brilliant he was in the plate. So he'd be the one I'd take. But I think, as we all know, he's going to need the ground even to show up. But he's the one I would side with in that battle. But yeah, it'd be brilliant to see Stradivarius win, wouldn't it?
It really would. And Jonathan, we're all expecting this to be Stradivarius' big retirement party. But then we hear Bjorn Nelson potentially saying if this horse goes and wins, that we could see this horse again in 2023. Can he land this race? And what do you make of this legend?
Well, firstly, what a horse Stradivarius has been to this point. And he's shown so much this year to suggest that actually he could go for another season. It's difficult when you're training a horse of that calibre and you own a horse of that calibre. It's hard to know when to pull stumps, when to call it a day, because he's clearly showing all the right signs at home. He's making their decision incredibly difficult. And the fact that he's an even money favourite for the Lonsdale Cup suggests to me that he still has shown plenty this year, hasn't he? I mean, he ran well against a very good rival in Kyprios, who I think possibly doesn't get the respect he deserves. At Ascot, he was then at Goodwood and ran another huge race with a bit more luck. Might he have won? It's difficult to know. That's racing, isn't it? I think he's probably, for me, too short to back. I think it's a race I'd probably sit out simply because there's too many variables. And I think actually, looking at whether you are going to have a bet, I'd wait until the day, because so much is going to come down to the ground. I mean, Trushan ran a huge race on good ground at Goodwood. That's not his preferred surface. If the rain comes, I think I'd narrowly side with Trushan, but it doesn't look like it will. We just got to wait and see. I think Stradivarius probably is the better of the two going into this race, because he just seems to come alive at York, and this is kind of set up for him if the ground's slightly firmer. But we are just going to have to wait and see. I think Coltrane's the improver in there, but he's got a little bit to find to get up there with what I'd call the sort of big boys of Trushan, Kyprios and Stradivarius. So really, I don't know is the answer. I think Stradivarius should win. But if the rain comes and Trushan comes into it, it's going to be a hell of a battle. I think I would narrowly, on what I've seen so far this season, side with Stradivarius. But like I say, so much is the ground, and that could affect whether Stradivarius runs or Trushan runs. It's an interesting one. It's sort of a watch this space, I think, until the day.
Yeah, it might be one of those where, yeah, you, like you say, Jonathan, you've got to wait until the day to potentially have a bet. But a lot of people are going to want to sit this one out and just cheer home Stradivarius. And I think everyone just hopes that he can go and land this one. And potentially we'll have an interview after with Bjorn Nelson telling us we'll see this horse again in 2023. So it never seems to end with Stradivarius, a legend of the game, and looking forward to seeing him on Friday. Now, time for the big two-year-old race of the day. It's the Group 2 El Basti Ekiwold Dubai Gimcrack Stakes. 6 furlongs at 3 o'clock on the Friday. And Noble Style, the Godolphin horse, is your 7-2 favourite. Royal Scotsman, 4-1. Marshman, 5-1. Persian Force, 11-2. Now, be aware with Persian Force, I believe the plan is to head to the Morney in Deauville. So be careful if you don't get your money back on your bet. Make sure that you do wait for that one, because I think they are heading to France with that horse. Clearpoint is 9-1 for the Fahy team, and double figures bar these. Now, I know that Noble Style is everyone's idea of potentially the next Pinatubo, Native Trail, Caribus for Godolphin. But Royal Scotsman looked very good at Goodwood. And if listeners haven't actually seen it, go back and watch Carl Burke's horse from the other day win at first, Marshman. That was very impressive. Jonathan, is this quite an open-looking race, or am I being difficult here, and should I be just siding with the favourite?
No, you're never being difficult. No, you have to be cynical, and you have to second guess and question. That's all part of the fun. I think you're right. It is an open race. There's holes in all of them. And equally, I suppose, talking about two-year-olds, there's plus points for all of them as well. The truth is, we're not. It's difficult to know quite what they are going to become. I think talking about Pinatubo and Caribus and the rest of it, it's very nice in theory, but in practice, this is a wide open race. The favourite, notwithstanding Godolphin's record with two-year-olds that I've spoken about this week, I mean, I'm personally going to take the favourite on because of how open the race is. And for me, the horse, one of the two-year-olds I've been most excited about this year has been Royal Scotsman. I thought he ran a brilliant race at Royal Ascot. Behind Brad Sell and Persian Force, who you say might now be going for a Morney, so that tells you what sort of calibre of horse he's finishing close to. He then went and won really impressively at Goodwood, I thought. The manner of the performance was such that I thought there could be a little bit more improvement to come. And talking to Connections after, that was the vibe from them. And this was pinpointed fairly early on as a target for him. So, yeah, really excited about what he can do. He seems fairly versatile in terms of the ground. I know I keep talking about the ground, but it's a bit up in the air at the moment. So, yeah, I think Royal Scotsman can serve it up. I don't think the favourite is a good thing by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, Royal Scotsman for Jonathan. James, I think this is probably the strongest two-year-old race of the week, without a shadow of a doubt. I think the two-year-olds look really good in here, and I think that potentially we could see a few horses come in, and we'll be saying that the three-year-old campaign next year could be really competitive. We could be in for a really good season next year with some of these two-year-olds going to three. Is there one that really stands out for you?
I think the one that really stands out for me will have to be Noble Style. I mean, you know, he's a very interesting horse to judge, because if you look at his first run, I mean, you'll struggle to see more impressive sort of performance than what he did. He beat Royal Scotsman, who's back in fourth, and I know that horse has obviously come on massively since then, but this is a horse that looks seriously impressive. But the next time, I just feel it was sort of underwhelming, if anything. You know, given the impression he made, given the form had obviously had such a huge boost from him and Wallbank, you just thought you'd expect a little bit more, I think that's fair to say, and you didn't quite get it. So, you know, if he brings his top form from Ascot to the table and he improves, as you'd expect, sort of a two-year-old too, then, you know, we're talking about a horse who could be seriously, seriously good. But on the back of that Newmarket run, I wouldn't want to bet on him. I'd be with Royal Scotsman, who's a horse that's improved a lot. You know, he's improved throughout the season. I know he's beaten by Noble Style, but look, he's a Group 2 winner now. He's won impressively at Goodwood. I agree with Jonathan. I thought the Coventry one was massive, and I think the Coventry will be a really strong race this year. I think we'll look back at that and go, yeah, it was a really strong year, and you know, it's just a shame we won't get Sortsy Bradsell this season. I think he's out for the season, isn't he?
Yeah, Bradsell,
yeah, not seen him at all. So yeah, I think that's a real shame. But Royal Scotsman for me, but Noble Style is one I'll be very, very interested in, because he's under that sort of could be anything bracket. And as you say, we know the Godolphin horses have had in the last few years. there's every reason to think he could be it, but we're going to need to see a bit more from him on Friday.
They held him in very high regard, I know, Godolphin, with regards to Noble Star. So it will be an interesting race. But Royal Scotsman for both of the gents there. I really like Marshman in there. I thought this horse, the way this horse pulled clear the other day at first, without having to really be asked too many questions. I know it wasn't the quickest time, but yeah, we know how well Carl Burke does with two-year-olds, and this one's no exception. I'll be looking forward to seeing what this horse can do on Friday. Now let's move on to the final race we cover before getting the naps of the meeting. It's the 3:35 Group 1 Coolmore Woodson Bassett Nunthorpe Stakes. A 5-furlong dash to the line here, open to two-year-olds and older, which is fascinating, with a horse looking to become the first two-year-old to win this race in the last 15 years. The market looks like this. Royal Acclaim 6-4. The Platinum Queen, the two-year-old in here, is 3-1. Big jump then to Floaters, who is 10s. Cardem and Hydefield Princess, two recent group winners. They are 12-1 and 14-1, bar these. James, it's fair to say the sprinting division hasn't been the strongest this year, but Royal Acclaim is unbeaten in two starts, and she could be anything. But the Platinum Queen, she is in here as a two-year-old. 5-furlong track record for the two-year-olds at Goodwood. Surely that can't be ignored in what looks a weak division being given so much weight.
Yeah, well, you don't want to start me off about the dramatised again, I hope. But yeah, definitely deserves respect. And, you know, really interesting sort of see how that two-year-old form and that three-year-old form and the older form sort of stacks into each other. It's one of those sort of fascinating races. And, you know, it's good for connections. You know, it's not the strongest Nunthorpe in the world. You know, we've got Royal Acclaim in there who has looked very, very good. But look, this is a horse that you've got to have your question marks about. He's won a listed race and two novices. So how good is he? Only time will tell. In terms of sort of betting on the race, I know the Platinum Queen was very, very impressive. But, you know, you mentioned there the record of two-year-olds, Royal Acclaim. I just haven't been totally convinced by that horse just yet. I mean, I'm very happy to be wrong on Friday afternoon, but I just haven't. I just sort of look at the value and I think, well, Dragon Symbol is a very, very good horse in his day. He's a horse I quite like, and I'm really sort of like following last season. We know what happened in the sort of the race at Ascot, and he ran another good race in the July Cup. That to me is real top class form. And this season, it's just not quite happened for him, but he was back at Hamilton last time. He ran to a pretty decent level. He beat horses he should have beaten, to be honest with you, but he was back in form. The first time Hood, which I presume will be back on, maybe that might help him out these days. He was reported to finish lame, I think, after the race, which is obviously a huge concern. But look, he's a horse with loads of talent, loads of speed. And you do sometimes get in the number four per horse that sort of just really sort of comes back and fires back to form and shows all the talent they've once showed. So I like Dragon Symbol, and I'd like him to get his day in the sun. But an interesting race, really, really interesting race. And I would struggle to be confident about anything, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, I think it definitely is a race that could be open for a shock, and Dragon Symbol might just be that. Jonathan, do you think it's open to a shock here?
I think absolutely. I think the fact we've seen the Platinum Queen be supplemented for it suggests that they're looking at it as something that's sort of, it's quite a winnable contest. Royal Acclaim deserves to be favourite. Very impressive at York, but there was also another impressive performance at York just one day earlier, and that was from Floatus, who won the Group 3 Summer Stakes for Simon and Ed Crisford. And I think she's slightly gone under the radar. She's obviously third in the market. And I find it absolutely fascinating, the decision to step her down and trip to 5 furlongs. Her form, I mean, she's been mixing it at the top level for a very long time. She's third in a Commonwealth Cup behind Perfect Power, beaten a length and three quarters. And we all know what Perfect Power went on to do at 40-1. She's been second in Achievely Park, runs well on good to firm ground. So if York does miss the rain, then that suddenly makes her a great deal more interesting. And I just think, yeah, that her win at the track was slightly overlooked. I think everyone was looking at Royal Acclaim and thinking that was the kind of sprinter to take out of the meeting. But I think that was a really encouraging performance. The question mark, obviously, is whether dropping down to 5 is going to work, but that's not something that's done lightly. And I think in a wide open race, it could just be a winner coming from that sort of slightly more bizarre scenario of having run over 6 or having bounced back or been supplemented. It's wide open. It lacks that sort of superstar that we've been used to in the likes of Batash. Royal Acclaim might just fill that role, but if he doesn't, then it's wide open. And I think Floatus at you know, around 10 to 1 could be the one to capitalise.
Okay, Flotus for Jonathan Harding in the Nunthorpe Stakes. And that's it. There we go. There's the races covered. But now it's time for the naps of the meeting.
This will not be beaten.
Mr. Harding, you can go first. Who's the best bet this week?
I'm going to go with Acal and the Great Vulture for Aidan O'Brien. I think, like you say, you were there to witness it in the flesh. Going to absolutely love stepping up and trip again in what looks to be a fairly open race. And I think, yeah, I think he's got it. I think he's the one.
Okay, Acal in the Great Vulture, currently 7-2. James Stephen, give us a good winner for the meeting.
I will try my best. So I've been looking at the 150, the first race of the card tomorrow, and sort of various pace angles and stuff. And Atalus Bay is the one I've landed on. A horse that's been really unlucky sort of in the last few runs. Looked like he was sort of ready to run a big race at Goodwood. Got caught behind quite a few runners and stayed on pretty well. He was a listed winner last season, Marco Botti. He's changed stables now. He's got lots of decent form in the book. And I think he's sort of coming right now. And the way the pace might work out might suit him. And I will give you one more, which is just a little bonus, because I've picked one out of 66-1. Unbelievably. Oh, I'm ready for egg on my face again. But the big sales race tomorrow, I looked at it for quite a while. I was thinking, what do I like? And Washington Heights has got some claim. But I watched back the debut of Havana by the Sea, who looked like this was a horse with a fair bit of talent. Sort of travelled into the race quite well. And then just sort of looked a bit sort of in need of a run or just sort of needy experiences. Two-year-olds often do. Might well progress from that. And to be honest with you, the sales race looks fairly okay. It looks fairly moderate. There's a horse at 66-1 who could well improve. Nice pedigree. Who knows? Let's wait and see, I guess. But yeah, Havana by the Sea in the big sales race on Thursday is the second one.
Havana by the Sea on Thursday, 66-1. But Atalus Bay in the 150 on Wednesday, 10-1. That is going to be your nap of the meeting. I'll be going with Alpinista in the Yorkshire Oaks. I know it's short, but I think she'll be going in the Yorkshire Oaks. And that's it for the preview of the first 3 days. As mentioned, Bruce will be back on Friday with a look at Saturday's racing, including the Sky Bet Ebor. Big thanks, as always, to my guests, James Stevens and Jonathan Harding. For our listeners, do subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Don't forget, In the Know with Coral, 6 p.m. Tuesday to Friday this week on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Join Ross Briley and some elite members of our tipping team for a preview of each race at York every day. Thanks, as always, to you for listening. Enjoy the week. And as always, if you do have a bet, remember to gamble responsibly.